I've recently been reading this book which tells the story of junior British officers in the First World War. It's entitled 6 weeks, because that was the average length of time that one of those officers survived during the bloodiest phases at the Western Front. The book is at pains to point out that the Blackadder caricature of the idiot lieutenant, the Honourable George, who thinks it's all a great lark, is far from the norm. Private Burridge, no particular admirer of officers, wrote, "I, who was a private, and a bad one at that, freely owned that it was the British subaltern who won the war. Certainly at platoon level, it was not lions led by donkeys." Even though some of those most junior officers were only 17, they had been relatively well prepared for their leadership responsibilities. They had been prefects at school, perhaps, or on the playing field, or by belonging to the officer training corps, which was near ubiquitous. Thomas Arnold, the headmaster of Rugby School, had put a tremendous emphasis on the development of Christian character, and by the time of the Great War, his reforms had permeated the public school system so that it encouraged responsibility and selfless service. Junior officers often showed remarkable devotion to the welfare of their men. Sometimes it was very small things that made military life bearable. A kind word, a cigarette. Siegfried Sassoon, for example, once found tea for 5 of his men who'd returned to camp late, whereas otherwise they would have had to go without. One army officer recalled seeing his colonel, pipe in mouth, looting the knapsacks of dead Germans so as to be able to bring his men dry socks. The official training manuals informed platoon commanders that it was their duty to stand as a father to their men, but not as a dry nurse. Officers were required to inspect their men's feet, and one soldier commented on the Christ-like nature of this action, remembering that Jesus himself had taken that very lowest role of the servant in washing his disciples' feet. Many junior officers would have remembered the words of Jesus from our second reading. "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man," a title of great authority which Jesus used to refer to himself, "even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." It was a lesson that Jesus' disciples were slow to learn. Like some in the United States today, James and John were jockeying for positions in the forthcoming new administration. They asked for those top jobs in Jesus' new cabinet. "May we sit at your right and your left when you come into your kingdom?" And when the other disciples hear of it, they are indignant. Not, I imagine, because they're made of nobler stuff than James and John, but because they're worried that they may have been beaten to it. But Jesus' whole life and mission is the very opposite of that striving for preeminence. Our first reading said that although Jesus was in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to cling on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus left the glory of heaven to come on a rescue mission into enemy-occupied territory. He didn't live in luxury, safely behind enemy lines. He shared the trenches of suffering and temptation with us, being born in a manger, and dying on a cross. The life of many junior officers in the First World War also involved the ultimate sacrifice. In some months of the Great War, the casualty rate amongst junior officers was more than double that of other ranks, as officers led their men over the top. As they shouted and waved their arms in attempts to encourage and organise their men, platoon commanders were conspicuous targets for the German gunners. And in our Gospel reading, we read of another young man leading his men towards death. As Jesus heads for Jerusalem, where he knows he will face betrayal, condemnation, and execution. Yet Jesus' death was unique. Of course, soldiers try to stay alive. But Jesus said that he came quite deliberately to die, to give his life as a ransom for many. He would intentionally, willingly lay down his life so that his people might live. He would pay the ransom price to set free those who would put their trust in him. And when he died, he would defeat the power of death by taking the penalty that we deserve so that we might be forgiven. And of course, his death was not the end. Because of his obedient death, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For Jesus' disciples, there is glory and the coming kingdom. But as for Jesus, it is life through death. Jesus' disciples faced that cup of suffering which Jesus drank, that baptism which Jesus underwent, images of death. Jesus called his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, to lose their lives that they might live. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor who was hanged in 1945 for his part in the plot to assassinate Hitler. He once said, "When Jesus calls a man, he bids him come and die. Come and die. That is, die to sin and to self, to the ego which longs for position and for preeminence. To die that we might live." So today, as we remember those who lay down their lives in war, let me ask you, will you lay your life at Jesus' feet? Will you bow to him and confess him as your Lord? There will be a cost as we live for him and not for ourselves. But he will give us our lives back, renewed and transformed, and it will be an eternal life that even death cannot destroy. May God give us the grace to humble ourselves before the Lord Jesus and in the service of others, that with Jesus we might be exalted. Amen. For us, in the words of the hymn which you'll find inside your service sheet, "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure."